If you remember last January, I told you we're trying to clear a debt. And the debt at last January was 190,000, right? And we're hoping to clear that over the next 2 years. Now, the debt from tomorrow will be down to 135,000. That's 55,000 cleared off already this year. And by the end of the year, if we keep going the way we're going, we'll be close to the 100,000 paid off. And thanks to ye, you know, you've contributed. Don't give up now that you think you're all, oh, they're all given. I can cut back. But don't. Let's, you know, the difference that this will make to the church to be debt-free next year, totally debt-free, it'll be colossal, you know. You'd actually be able to employ a pastor and pay him. You know, a youth pastor, you know, we have everything, we're onto a new plane of thought. That's the good news. Now, this morning, I'm going to preach three sermons. Now, the three sermons are, the first one is the sermon I preach. The second one is the sermon that you hear. And the third one is the sermon that I should have preached. And a couple of my favourite television programmes when I do watch the television are Living Off the Grid and Alaska Homestead Rescue, these programmes. Nice, simple programmes. You can fall asleep and join them again without missing anything, you know. But so this morning I'm going to talk about solar panels and wind turbines. So where does that tie into the gospel, do you say? Just bear with me. You know, have you considered the fact that we're living in this extremely vulnerable when it comes to the world power grid? If there was to be some kind of an attack, whether through the internet, an explosion, or whatever can be used by another nation these days. We can see this happening in the Ukraine at the moment, where Russia is picking off the Ukrainian power grid one station at a time. We also saw where the power grid in Spain and Portugal went down there last year or the year before for no apparent reason. We're extremely vulnerable. As a matter of fact, our power could go out any moment and everything would shut down. Even military generals across the world are incredibly concerned about this today. However, in the last couple of decades, there are people who have found various ways to get off the power grid. Obviously, one alternate source and every reliable energy source in this world is the sun. It is a proven track record of reliability. It comes up at the same time every morning and goes down at the same time every night. The sun causes things to grow. It causes the vapours on the earth to ascend so that clouds can be formed to give rain to the land. It is no surprise that many people in this world are turned to the sun for their energy supply. Still others are relying on the wind as an alternative power source. Even in summertime, we see wind turbines all over the place to supply energy. I applaud these efforts. Let us turn to our Bible passage for today. It comes from Luke 16, verses 1 to 4. Excuse me. Jesus told his disciples, "There was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called them and asked them, 'What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your mansion, because you cannot be manager any longer.' The manager said to him, 'What shall I do now? My master has taken away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do, so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their homes.' This man lived outside the kingdom of God and was called an unjust steward. when he found out he was about to be cut off from his Jewish or heaven's supply, he used the wisdom that he had to create what we might consider an alternative source of supply. He reached out to his master's debtors and alienated a portion of their debts so that he may find favor with them when he needed it. After he's telling this parable, Jesus makes this statement. Listen to this statement that Jesus makes. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. We see this in Luke 16:8. The children of this world, those who are dependent on this world for their sense of well-being, are sometimes wiser than the followers of Christ. They are preparing for the days that are ahead. And this brings me to the question, what provisions are you making for the future? I am sure you're aware that difficult days are coming. I've been worrying for the last couple of years that this world is mounting its last offences against the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We're seeing an increase in lawlessness all over the world. An antichrist spirit seems to be gripping societies all over. Even ones that formerly knew the light of God, Jesus warned that men's hearts are going to fail them from fear and the expectations of these things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of the heaven will be shaken. We see this in Luke 21:26. So we would be wise to prepare ourselves now. I believe that the first thing we must do is to begin to get off this world power supplies. Of course, what I'm talking about is a shift of focus, a shift from maintaining our sense of well-being and insurance of the future that from what this world would offer. As some people in this world are turning to the sun for the source of supply, in the kingdom of God, we would be wise to shift all our trust to the Son of God, the faithful one who never fails. As it says in the book of John 1, verses 1 to 5, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. In other words, people who are looking to the things of this world to give them light, life and light are eventually going to be utterly disappointed. But those who look to the Son of God will never be disappointed, for he is the light that has been there since the beginning. The Son of God has always been a reliable power supply. In the book of Ezekiel, we read about another time when everybody's life source had failed him. But the Lord spoke to Ezekiel and said in verse 9 of chapter 37, prophesy to the breath. In other words, speak the word to the breath, O God, for it is God who by his speech creates life. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the Lord, sovereign Lord says, come breath from the four winds and breathe into those slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he had commanded, and the breath entered them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, a vast army of them. While others in the world are turning to the wind to their alternative energy supply, I believe it is time for us to turn and speak to the breath of God, just as Ezekiel did. Remember, it is God who by his speech creates life. When he speaks, he puts things into motion, as scriptures say, God calls on these things which do not exist as though they did. See this in Romans 4:17. You see, God does not need to have anything in order to create something. Just by the words of his mouth, he can lift you out of your depression and make you into a person who will stand in the storm that we will all soon face. So begin to speak the word and watch as God moves on your behalf. Get a Bible verse and make it your own. In the past, people would come to me and say, "How are you feeling this morning, Pastor?" And I say, "Oh, I have a pain in my back, my head is at me, I have congestion in my chest or my knees or my ankle or whatever, you know." And I was kidding myself, really, you know. But I came across this Bible verse from Psalm 139, verse 13. And it says, "And when I look in the mirror every morn, I can confirm this Bible verse is true. I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and great are your works, O God." And I began to quote it whenever people asked me how I was, no matter who they were, whether they're doctors or consultants, and I would still quote that verse. And you know what? Things began to change. Doctors began to take me off long-term medication that they said when they gave it to me in the beginning that I'd be on for the rest of my life. So I encourage you today to get a verse of scripture and claim it for yourself and use it. And most importantly, believe the verse that you pick. Remember, this world's power supply can be taken out in less than an hour. It's like the warning in Revelation that says, in a single moment, God's judgment came up on you, in Revelation 18:10. This world can lose all its false comforts, all its bravado, all its assurance of a future in just a moment of time. But the Son of God is eternal and everlasting. He was there in the beginning, and he will be there when it's all over. To all who turn to him, he promises to be a power supply that will never fail. I want to challenge you today to pull the plug on whatever you need to. Of course, I'm not suggesting that you turn off the lights in your house. What I am suggesting is you pull the plug on whatever you trust that is not founded in the Son of God. If you're in addiction, look at what you're addicted to. Turn to God and ask him to help you to get rid of whatever the addiction is. If you're consumed by too much television, football, or whatever, if it's taking you away from reading the scriptures, turn it off. Never forget that he is faithful to keep all his promises. He is the only one who can save you and your family. That is why in the book of 1 John 5:13 it says, "I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." In other words, as you believe in Jesus, you will have a strong confidence. You will be attached to a power supply that this world knows nothing about. If this world turns dark, your light will shine even brighter than any false hope that this world has to offer. And so it is time to ask God for what only he can give you, as the scripture tells us. And we are confident that he hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases him. And since we know he hears us when we make our request, we also know that he'll give us what we ask for. We see this in 1 John 5:14 to 15. As we ask the Lord, he'll sure give us the power, the security, and the assurance of a future that we all long for. He will endow us with the strength to stand when the land starts shaking, society starts dissolving, and the ungodly rise up against the testimony of Christ. Remember, even if people stand outside and rage against the sun all they want, it will still come up in the morning and go down at night. In the same way, the ungodly may rage against the Son of God, but he is the Alpha and the Omega. He is still God, and there is nothing they can do about that. The good news is that as we trust the Lord to be our strength and stability in troubled times, it will not be just for our sake. God is willing to give us such a source of life that people will be drawn to us. as the Apostle Peter said, be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that's in you. 1 Peter 3:15. It is evident that this world is very quickly losing its hope. But the Bible says that you shall receive power when the Spirit of God comes upon you. See this in Acts 1, verse 8. You shall be a witness of the reality of God and the lasting hope that is found in Him. You will be a voice for good, a herald within light, an oil in your lamp that will call people to the throne of God in a season of incredible darkness. And shin shin. I was going to preach three sermons, but I said I'll stick to the one. Now, we want to...